Welcome to the Legacy House Podcast. Our mission as a church is to equip people to know God, live free, and find purpose. We express the mission of our church through adoration, biblical teaching, creativity, and discipleship. We have prepared this message for you, and we know God is going to use it to minister to you wherever you are and in whatever situation you're going through.
This morning we're going to be talking a little bit about perspective, a little bit about where to look in life, maybe when the waves get a little tumbly, a little rocky, when the desert gets a little hot, a little dry. We're going to be talking about that. We're going to be in Psalms chapter 63. So if you have a Bible and you want to turn there, Psalm 63. Also, if you don't have a Bible, we'd love to give you one. There's in the back of the, whenever you leave, you can pick one up, take it home with you. Even, hey, I'll do you one better. If you know somebody who needs the Bible, I'll let you have that one. Take it to them. My wife and I, we served in New York City for about 3 years at a church plant there. And one of the testimonies that we had was a girl started coming, she got really involved, and she said, "This is the first church that I went to where they gave away the Bibles." And for me, I was like, "What do you mean? Like, why wouldn't they give it to you?" Like, for me, it was such a strange thought. But we're so thankful that we have a generous church that gives generously so that we can do things like buy Bibles and provide those for people and create, you know, I've got a little 3-year-old girl. It's in the kids' ministry. We can create phenomenal environments for the kids, safe, sound, biblically based. So I'm so thankful for that. Anyway, thanks, y'all. So let's go. Psalm 63, what we're going to do is read, I'm just going to read verse 1 through 8, and then we're going to kind of pause on a few sections of it. We're going to talk through it, and then that'll be our time today. So you read with me here. It says, "O God, you are my God. I earnestly search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in this parched and weary land where there's no water. I've seen you in your sanctuary and gazed upon your power and glory. Your unfailing love is better than life itself. How I praise you. I will praise you as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you in prayer. You satisfy me more than the richest feast. I will praise you with songs of joy. I lie awake thinking of you, meditating on you through the night, because you are my helper. I sing for joy in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you, your strong right hand holds me securely." Let me just pray. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for everything you've done in and through Legacy House. And I thank you, God, that I've been able to get to be a part of it and to see it. And I pray, God, that we would be open to receiving your word, God. That just as the scripture starts and says, "God, you are my God, Lord, and I'll earnestly search for you." God, I pray that this morning we would start with an expectant heart. God, we would start with eyes open, ears wide to hear from you. God, I feel like you've been speaking in my life recently. Lord, I don't want to rush out. I don't want to rush out. I know, God, that I'm very good at Irish goodbyes. I'm good at bailing without saying goodbye to anybody. Lord, I want to rush out. Not of your presence, God. I don't want to rush out. God, I pray that we would just receive from you today. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, well, I'm very excited to preach this message for the second time today. I'm really excited to see all you out here. I've gone through some things within the last 24 hours that have radically transformed this message. This is a message I preached about a year ago in New Orleans. I got invited to speak at a large youth gathering between different churches. And I shared this message, and it's really, I was telling somebody, it's really not even the same message anymore. It's like the same scripture, but just over the last 12 hours, literally 12 hours, God has like transformed it and really done some things in my life. And I'm excited, I can say that now, I'm excited to share that with you. But the title of today's message is Views. And we're talking about perspective. We're talking about where you're looking. We're talking about what you're looking at. Your motivation in looking. And so I want to help us, God, well, you're going to come to find out really how God spoke to me through this and how I put my view on things that mattered most. And so starting in, there's one thing is, you know, when you're looking ahead in the future, you're walking in the path that God has for you, and you're just walking through life, you're looking somewhere, right? You're surely not walking around like this because you're bumping into something, you're falling, you're hurt. It's not going to last very long like that. So you're looking somewhere. The question is, what are you looking to? What are you focusing on? What is your perspective shifted towards? So I believe there's three things that we kind of do as we're walking through life. Either you're looking down, you're looking to the side, or you're looking forward. And we're going to dive into those, and we're going to see the scripture, how we see David talk through that now. So the scripture here, you see in the second part of the first verse, it says this, in this parched and weary land where there's no water. So David could choose to solely focus on that point. Parched and weary land where there's no water. You could use your life, spend your life looking down. That's when you look down at your circumstance. And I'm going to let you know a little bit about my last 24 hours. So Keely and I, we moved from New York City about end of 2016. We started coming to Legacy House, and God just got a hold of our heart. We are so happy to be here and so thankful for Pastor Curtis, Pastor Bethany, and their leadership in our lives. But we've been pulling the one-car shift for about since the end of 2016, which is great, but it gives a lot of good family time. But there's certain days when, you know, Keely will go drop me off at work, and it's tons of gas because she's driving here, taking home, driving me back. And then there's days where I take her and she's at home, and we have a little three-year-old, and if you know three-year-olds, you know that they have an incredible ability of contentment, of just being content in whatever they're doing, which is not the truth at all. They get very bored of what they're doing incredibly quickly. And so when Keely has to stay home with Harley, that doesn't go so hot. And then I swoop in like the hero, and she's like, da-da, and I get to have the fun Harley, but Keely's with like the prison Harley that's like, come on, like, like, try me, like making, you know, shanks out of stuff, and like, like, but I get like the sweet baby Harley, a little baby. Anyway, so this last week, incredible, exciting news. I got my wheels. I got a set of wheels. Woo, woo! It's a motorcycle. Little less woos from the moms and dads. It's a motorcycle. It's not just because it looks super cool and I enjoy the freedom of the open road. It's a money saver. I'm telling my wife continually. The gas is incredible. Anyway, and the difference between a $2,000 motorcycle and a $2,000 car is you can get a pretty good one for that, and you get a really, really bad one for that. And so I kind of pitched that to her. So anyway, I've got wheels this week, and it's been phenomenal having that weight off my shoulders. So I'm like, all right, I'm cruising, I'm loving it. I'm not even worrying about it. Well, last night, you know, Pastor Curtis, he reached out to me Friday and said, hey, you know, would you be willing to preach this weekend? And I said, yeah, well, you know, well, this is how I responded to him. I said, well, if God can tell Moses to hit a rock and that rock turns into a Coca-Cola freestyle machine, you know, the one that got all the flavor, it wasn't quite that extravagant, but if God can do that, I'm sure he can prepare me to preach in 2 days. And so it was great. You know, I worked last night and I saw there's a lot of traffic. I work in Gulf Breeze proper, and so there's a lot of traffic, and I was like, all right, I'll just stop at Starbucks and work on my notes a little bit, and that was great. Still a good amount of traffic. I was I'm going to get on the road, get home. And so I'm riding this motorcycle across the 3-mile bridge, and I get about 2 miles in, and the battery dies, and it won't start. So I'm 2 miles deep on a 3-mile bridge with a much heavier vehicle than I prefer to push. But my option is start hoofing it. And I'm like, oh, Lord, I start looking down at my current circumstances. I said, God, why? God, I'm supposed to preach tomorrow. I would like to have more time to look over these notes. But why? A mile deep, couldn't I be like near the end? But in his goodness, it wasn't before the hump. So I didn't try to push over. I would have dove off and swam. The bike would have been lost. If I was strong enough to lift, I would have thrown it into the sea at that moment. But thank God I wasn't. So here I am. I'm looking, why me? And just a little insight into me, a little bit more into the turmoil of my soul in that moment, was it always seems like when God is going to do something through me, there's some obstacle that I immediately fall into. My battery dies. And in the moment afterwards, I'm slapping the high fives and we're like, the devil, no, devil, no, not today. We're like, he didn't want me to preach. But in the moment, I'm saying, God, where are you? I'm your guy. What's happening? We moved from New York City. We really felt a call to come down here. And God, you know, we didn't know at the time, but God was calling us to Legacy House to be a part of what God is doing here, this unique unique move of God that's happening here. And so we moved down here, and the day before I drive, 1,300 miles, I've got everything I own, which the New York City apartment is not a lot. It's a 5x7 trailer and my Pathfinder loaded down. And the day before I leave, my car won't start. And I have to get towed, which is always fun in New York City. It's very easy to get towed anywhere in New York. And so I did that. I get towed over to my mechanic, who's in Queens. I live in Brooklyn, which geographically is not far. Traffically is a nightmare on earth. So I tow the car anyway. Another time, I preached this message again last year in New Orleans. Awesome. I went out there early with a crew of guys. Actually, Andrew was with me. We went out there early, hung around New Orleans. It was so much fun. Preached, get done 9:30. Kind of knowing that this was going to happen, but I said, I'll just do it anyway. I have to work at 5 a.m. the next day. I get done there at like 9:30, 10. We hit Raising Cane's on the way back, the late shift. We drive, and then I get home like, you know, 12:30, wake up, go to work. Midnight. It's always these things. I'm like, Lord. And I start looking down, and I start asking God, why? Like, I thought you were calling me to that. Why am I in this? God, I know you're calling me to the end of this bridge, but why am I stuck a mile short and a battery shy of getting across it? Well, I'm looking down, and we can do that in our life. We can start to look at our circumstance and be consumed with that. But that's not what God's calling us to do. Well, the next option is looking to the side. You start to look to the side. And I've kind of titled this, if you're taking notes, which I encourage you to do so, the little point I want you to put here is don't go chasing waterfalls. How many of you guys know that? If you're young, you don't. If you're older, you do. My friend Mike McKay's favorite song, TLC, favorite group. It's this R&B song. And my sister is older, and she was really into R&B, and so I wanted to be into R&B and whatever she was into. And I always thought it was, if they said, don't go Jason Waterfalls, which is probably self-centered, but I was like, yeah, like, no, don't go Jason Waterfalls, which doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. No one would ever. If you knew a guy named Jason Waterfalls, you'd probably kick him out of your house, tell him to go, but he didn't. So don't go chasing waterfalls. What I'm talking about is this. Psalm 23. Ever heard of it? I'm just kidding. You probably have a pillow with it on it. Psalm 23 says this. David wrote that as well. David said, Lord, you lead me beside to the green pastures and to beside the still waters. Well, that sounds great until you're looking over. You're next to Carpenter's Creek, this nice calm water, and then you're looking over here at this waterfall, rapid. There's guys doing jet skis, rope swings, and you say, God, I can do that. Why are they there and I'm here? God, why have you brought them? It looks like they're where God's called them to be. Why am I not where you're calling to me? I know I can handle that rope swing. I know I can handle that waterfall. Why am I here? Why am I by this puddle? Well, look, still waters, they're great. They're calm, they're quiet, but they're kind of boring. Waterfalls are exciting. They're adventurous, a little dangerous, challenging. But I want to let you guys know, maybe God has you by the still waters, because you got to learn how to swim. And before, you got to learn how to swim before he takes you whitewater rafting. See, you might be in a job where you feel you're underappreciated, you're overqualified. God, why am I in this place? Why are they there? I can do that. I'm better than that. I can do it better than them. Why? Well, maybe you need to learn how to follow before you learn how to lead. You can't look to the side. Look, I want to encourage y'all. David, he was just a normal shepherd far before he was a Navy SEAL. David, he was a normal shepherd shepherding sheep, which is the coolest job. Everybody loves it. It's equivalent to a stockbroker. I'm just kidding. No, it's like a garbage man. It's just mundane. It's normal. Shout out to you utility workers. But he's shepherding these people. And he could look to the side. His brothers were in the army fighting these great fights. And he's like, all right, I'll just be here shepherding the sheep. He was just focused on what God called him to do. God's called me to do this, so I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it the best I can in the season I'm in. I'm going to keep walking forward. Look, Jesus walked as a son before he rose as a savior. So don't despise the season you're in. Don't compare it to the person next to you. Don't look down at it. Look ahead. Move forward. God is bigger than our current desert. And I promise you, the plan that God has for your life is greater than a borrowed dream. There's, you know, for instance, are you guys familiar, local knowledge, are you familiar with the Pine Forest exit of 110, of 10? Have any of you, don't raise your hand because it's slightly embarrassing, but how many of you guys have ever passed that exit on accident and had to go into Alabama to turn around? Preach, yeah, you're like, yeah, too many times. Or maybe one of y'all driving a girl home, that's her exit. You're like, sorry, I missed it. Like 30 extra minutes. You're still going to get to where you're going, but it's just going to take longer. You see, chasing waterfalls, it doesn't mean that you won't get to where God calls you to, but it does mean it's going to take a little bit longer. It's going to take a little bit longer. You know, I talked about first service, this movie that I love, it's called Big Fish. It's pretty wholesome. I'm pretty sure, I know it's wholesome. Anybody y'all watch, I don't feel bad. But he talks about this one scene where he meets a crossroad in his journey. He's walking, he's leaving town, the small town. He's going to what, you know, I'll just say, he's going to what God called him to do, something bigger, something greater. So he's walking, and he's at a fork in the road. There's the long way. It's called the long way, but it's much easier. It's paved road, it's nice. And then there's the short way. And it looks like the backyard of a witch. It's crazy. It's all snarled over. There's bats flying by. You know, like. But he said this. His friend's like, you don't want to go this way. It's way easier. And he said, you know, the long way's easy, but it's always longer. He's from Alabama. It's always longer. And I don't know. I've always loved that. Because I'm like, God, I want to go the way that you're calling me to, no matter what it looks like. Because I also believe that God, though, if you walk in the path that God has called you to, it's the faster way. But if you go the way that looks easy, it's going to be a little bit harder. It's going to take a little bit, it's going to take a little bit longer. You know, and then finally, as far as how we look and where we look. So we know looking down, that's no good as I'm stuck on the motorcycle. As I was on the bridge too, let me just let you know, there were several cars zooming past me. There was a couple motorcycles that passed me, and I was like, why can't mine just work? Like, I'm like frustrated. I'm pushing this heavy thing, a mile to go on this bridge. I'm looking on the side like, man, come on. Why, God? I'm just comparing. But what you have to do is you've got to look forward. You've got to look ahead to what God has called. I know, like I said, I know God has called me to the end of that bridge. So I need to look forward to that bridge and start hoofing that thing across. Eventually, just so you guys know, one guy stopped and he's like, we can try to put it in my truck. And I was like, dude, I can't lift this thing. Like, you see my physique, this is not happening. And he's like, let's try. And he looks similar to me and we're like, "Doo!" He said, sorry, man. I said, I really appreciate you, but I got to do this. This is my road I'm on. And I just had to walk. And eventually Jesus came in the form of a Florida Patrol road ranger who jump-started me, and it was awesome. But you've got to look forward. You've got to look ahead. See, looking forward to the future is looking at what God has called you to do and owning it. Even though it might seem crazy, the road might seem dark, it might seem like you're not equipped, not ready for that end goal, but you have to trust the process. Not a specific shout out to Philadelphia 76ers, but you've got to trust the process to get through, to get to where God has called you to. And you're going to walk along that. So you've got to know it, own it, walk in it. Look, this detour, as you're walking, it might feel like there's a little detour. It might feel a little swerve where you feel like, well, this lane looks a little smoother. Why am I not working and walking that lane? Trust that detour. Don't let it get you down. That detour will be the degree that God grants you that you'll be able equipped and uniquely qualified for what he calls you to next. It's just like getting that college degree. It qualifies you to do a job that I couldn't do because I don't have that degree. That detour will be the degree that God qualifies you for your next step with. That somebody at that waterfall wouldn't have the knowledge or the qualification to do. Look, the playoffs are going on right now, NBA playoffs. And there's a lot of exciting things happening in basketball. I'm a recent basketball obsession. In the last year, I've really dug into it. Shout out my Golden State Warrior socks. No-brainer. But anyway, there's some exciting stuff happening in the NBA right now. And this is what I want to tell you right now. There's these two guys, Andre Ingram and Quinn Cook. In the NBA, they have, I think it's sponsored by Gatorade. It's called the G League. And it's like, it's kind of like the Blue Wahoos here are like the farm league for the Cincinnati Reds, right? Like there's G League players. And I've always thought, well, they get paid something. I'd never known like the numbers or anything. Well, this guy, Andre Ingram, he was in the G League for 10 years. Year after year, he signed his G League contract. Instead of, they got paid $26,000 a year to be in the G League basketball. And so he, every year after next, he signed that contract to play. And he was a math tutor on the side. This guy's following the dream that God has placed in his life. I'm an NBA basketball player. He's playing in the G League for 10 years. He gets a call recently by the Los Angeles Lakers. He was on the Lakers G team. And they say, hey, we want you to play two games. He signs a contract. He makes $13,000 in two games, which is silly because he made $26,000 a year. So much more money, such a shorter time. He shows up, and what happens? He scores 19 points his game. He leads the team in three-point percentages on that game. He blows out. People are chanting MVP for this game, for this guy who paid his dues, and he wasn't looking to the side. You know how many people have been drafted in the last 10 years that have gone on to make tons more money and that have been like flops? This guy led the G League in 3 points for 10 years, was killing it. And he was looking at what God called him to do. Quinn Cook, similar story, G League. He got his shot in the NBA, started killing it, averaging 19 points a game. He was stepping in for Steph Curry, who's like the bomb dog basketball, such a good player. And he took that, the detour of the G League. He learned from that. He grew in that. And he had that degree to go and to show. And now he got a real NBA contract. It was really cool. So anyway, Don't despise the season you're in. Don't look to the side. Don't look down, but look ahead. If God's called you to something, pursue that. And pursue that well. And pursue that focused. Set your perspective on that. Don't let the things in life, the deserts, the 3-mile bridge breakdowns, define you. I talked about earlier, what people might say about you between here and there might not be flattering. It might not be very kind. But it doesn't matter because the cross is the final word. That what God calls me to is who I am. My identity is a son. You are a daughter in Christ Jesus. And I'm going to walk because he gives me the strength to do so. Next thing I want to kind of say is this, we're looking through the scriptures. And you'll see in verse 4 it says this, I will praise you as long as I live. One thing I want you to put a little side note, put V4, if you're taking notes like me, V.4, and then dash, and then write, ride or die. Ride or die. That's a saying, that's somebody like ride or die. That's no matter what, that they're by your side. That's the case, that's the course that they're going to go. And so I want to say your relationship with God, the calling that God's placing in your life, what's your timeline? Are you putting a timeline on that? If I'm not there in 5 years, it ain't going to happen. I found myself doing that. My wife and I are, I feel like, I've shared this with some of you guys before, often God gives you an end of a story or a beginning of a story, but he never really gives you the middle. So he might give you a dream to start with or a dream that you feel like that's the ultimate dream, you're moving forward, but you don't realize what God's doing in the middle. So like Keely and I, we actually moved down here because we felt called to plant a church in New Orleans. And then we got involved with Legacy House, and now we're so blessed because we're able to walk through that journey and really like learn and walk through it with Legacy House. But I found myself this last year really defeated. So we do some fundraising, we do some events, we try to build teams, and like everything was falling flat. And I didn't say this as first service, but we did this like cool New Orleans night, fundraising night, you know, vision night, we're casting all that. You know, this is my dream, this is literally my heart and soul, all of my passion going into this. And we have this amazing night, it's this sick New Orleans-y venue downtown, is an art center. We have a jambalaya cooked up for everybody. Man, we share the vision. Pastor Curtis, Pastor Bethany are there sharing the vision. And we get back and say, all right, let's see what God did. You know, we were trying to set a goal to see it, you know, God, see if you're in this with this time frame, or should we go now? And we were shooting to raise $10,000 before, you know, like a certain date. We raised $25 that night. Like $25. That's like, I was hoping for $10,000. We got $25. So we just stood back and said, all right, God, what are you saying through this? Because you're saying something. And so we sat and we said, all right, that's a not yet. Because God always answers prayers. He either tells you, he says, sometimes a no, it's not a no, it's a not yet. And so we're like, all right, God. And so anyway, I was finding this point there. And I started, I told Keely, I was setting time frames. I said, if this doesn't happen in a year, I'm giving up. If this doesn't happen in a year, I'm not trying to raise money, build a team for over a year, which is silly. But I'm just being honest with y'all. I told you my motorcycle broke down the bridge. That ain't cool. I'm going to be honest with you guys. That's what I did. But I'm going to let you guys know I repent of that right now, because I'm not placing a timeline on this call that God's placed on my life. I'm believing it. I'm not believing what I tell myself by looking down. I'm not believing it by looking to the side and seeing how come they're doing all this. I'm believing it because that's what God said. And I'm going to go. If I'm 10 years in the G League, one day I'm going to make it to the NBA. Even if there's two games, I'm going to go. I will praise you as long as I live. You know, so 70% of young people actually leave the faith in college, and only 35% of them will ever return. 70%, once they get to college, walk away from their faith, and only 35% return. What's your timeline? 90% of youth active in high school church programs drop out of church by the time they're sophomores in college. What's your time frame? Are you placing a time frame? Are you allowing looking to the side, looking down to alter and to shrink and to think, to place a time on it? Every day is a gift. You know, I once had a friend tell me, he said, it was one of the most inspiring things, but one of the most sobering things he's ever said. He said, if I suffered every single day in physical pain, he's like, I was physically hurting. I was in a place, he said, but at the end of my life, I lived till I was 99 years old, and I lived. And at the end of my life, I go and I spend eternity in heaven with Jesus. He said, it was all worth it. And I was like, wow, that's so true. And I try to remind myself all the time. So anyway, the greatest example of that, all I can do is try to live my life as an example of that. But here's such a great example that we have in the Bible of that. John, the only disciple to reach old age. He's been boiled alive. He's been exiled to an island. I joked around, it's like they said, hey, you got to go live out in Flomaton. They sent him out there. He's like, couldn't you just boil me again? Like, there's a target here. He sends him all the way out to Flomaton and exiles him. And what is it, if this guy, he's fought the good fight. He's an old man now. He's living in a cave in Flomaton. He knows what's at the end of the road. His friends, they died pretty quickly after Jesus, and they're with Jesus in heaven. They know, John knows that's the next step. He could just be like, God, just come on, why am I still here? There's one comedian joked around, he said, when you get really to a very old age, he said, they have this look on their face of like, why did I ever eat kale? Like, I would have eaten ice cream. But that's Johnny's, he's not looking like, man, come on. He's staying the course and walking with a goal in mind, what God has called him to do. And it says this in the book of Revelation, it says, and on the Lord's day, he began to worship. So if anyone had a reason to skip out on church, to sleep in, and to come late to church, I would say it was John. Boiled, exiled, give this guy a pass. But he stayed walking. What happened? If you read the book of Revelation, God showed up. God showed up, and the revelation of Jesus Christ followed. And that's the whole book of Revelation there. So you never know. Walk steadfast in that calling. Walk assuredly and keep your focus and your perspective ahead. Don't look to the side. Don't look below. David continues. He starts talking more. He says, you satisfy me more than the richest feast. I will praise you with songs of joy. And what I want to say here is how David says, you satisfy me. I'm going to praise you with songs of joy. There's a difference that we need to identify between happiness and joy. Happiness and joy. There's a lot of things that's happiness, me getting my motorcycle and riding that thing on the open road, looking for adventure, you know, like riding on that. I told the first service when I first got it and I was trying to hide my face. I was so excited, like a little boy. I was like singing that song as I was looking for adventure. And I was like trying to keep my mouth low because, you know, when somebody's singing in a car and they're like really into their song, it's kind of funny for you to see that. Well, it's even worse on a motorcycle because there's literally no hiding. And you go, nah, bah, nah, nah. Like people see you. Not the greatest look, but so I was all excited with that. Riding the motorcycle was happiness, but when it breaks down on that bridge and I can say, God, I still trust you. God, I still love you. God, I know that you're calling me to the end of this bridge. That's joy. Because joy is unshakable, unbreakable. Joy is never ending. Happiness can look like the form of a relationship with the perfect looking guy. I'm gonna say it again. I joked around first service. I said happiness might look like that chiseled jawline, that 6'3" fella. And I said, well, thankfully, Keely found her joy in me, not the happiness in Zac Efron. But she said, I don't think Zac Efron's cool. And I'm like, well, I don't know what girls think is cool. Anyway, I can't compare. Let me have this. Now you know what I think is cool. Anyway, David, then he goes on and continues, says this. He says, I lie awake thinking of you and I meditate on you through the night. Look, David recognized that in the wee hours is when we're the weakest. When we're distraught, when the desert's the hottest, when the waves are the highest, that's when we need to focus on God's calling the most. Because when we focus on our other circumstances, we start to get consumed. You can bring up story after story after scripture of where this comes true. When Peter stepped out of that boat and he had his eyes on Jesus, what did he do? That dude hopped, skipped, and jumped on water. What happened when he took his eye off Jesus and started looking at the waves? He sunk. You've got to keep your eyes on the prize and what God has called you to do because there's more. Doesn't matter what the circumstances look like. Go for it. And you know what? I want to encourage you guys again. Just leaning back on that. I love bringing this up. He walked forward. He walked ahead. He walked out on water. He looked at Jesus. What happened? He walked on water. When he took his eyes off Jesus, he sunk. He didn't make the same mistake twice. When he noticed Jesus was on the shore, after he rose from the dead, Jesus was on the shore cooking him some breakfast. He kept his eyes on Jesus, never took them off. He didn't walk on water this time. He had to swim, and it wasn't easy, but he kept his eyes on what was ahead. And so maybe you've taken your eyes off of the Lord. Maybe you haven't been focused on the calling that God's placed on your life, and you're ready to do it again. But it doesn't seem as easy this time. You're a little bit older. You got kids. You got responsibilities. You got a full-time job. My encouragement to you today is look ahead. When everything is loud on the side of you and everything is terrible behind you and it looks like it's hell and high water between you, look ahead. Walk. We see in the scripture, look, I just want to say this. I want us to focus in. Look ahead. I've got some other notes. I think I'm gonna skip over those. Look, I wanna say this to you right now. Some of you might feel in here today, I don't know what's at the end. I don't see the calling. I feel like I never received that great thing that God has called me to do like you. I wouldn't even know where to begin. You've got to have your eyes focused on something forward. And you know what? It might be far ahead. It might just be further than it looks. It might be farther than it seems. Farther than it should be. But you got to look ahead. You got to walk forward. I'm just going to close with one main point today. If you don't feel like you've got that calling, I've got good news for you. Your calling is calling you. Your calling is calling you today at Legacy House 11:30 service. That calling, that great resolve that will get you through life and get you through the storms, that will allow you to jump out of a boat and to swim to shore because Jesus is there, is calling you. It might look different for a little bit of us, but I'm gonna let you know this. The core is the same. If you don't know your calling, I'm gonna encourage you with two things. One thing, move. Start moving. Start walking. I wasn't gonna get to the end of that bridge and started pushing that bike. It wasn't gonna magically gonna happen. It wasn't downhill, so I couldn't coast. I wish it was, but it wasn't. Just move, start walking. But here's the thing, your second thing. God gave you your calling. When he called you out of death to life, he brought you from a sinner to a saint. He brought you from lost to found, from blind to having sight. The call on your life is to go and to make disciples of all the nations, of all the neighborhoods, of all Flomaton, East Hill, Gulf Breeze proper. That dude that stops on the bridge, that's gonna give you a jump start. You need to speak life into him. And they're gonna see your resolve. And I'm gonna be honest with you guys. I didn't do a great job with that last night. The dudes who stopped to help me, they did not get a Christ-like face out of me and just a peace and a joy that was surpassing understanding. They got a really frustrated young man who was stressed out about something that I've got no control over. God's gonna speak through me. It doesn't matter what I type. It doesn't matter how long I prepare. I need God to move to make a difference. Look, if you ever look to Pastor Curtis to change your life, you're gonna come up short. 10 out of 10. But if you look to Pastor Curtis to equip you, to bring Jesus to you, and you find that Jesus will change your life, I promise you, your life will change. That's just what it is. I want to ask everyone, just stand with me today. I want to be able to pray for us. I want to give us an opportunity today to give everything to Jesus, to look ahead, to find that calling in your life. Your calling is not your job. Your calling is not what people say about you. Your calling is what God has spoke about you. And you need to walk in fact. That's the truth. Jesus is the truth. You know, I heard a commentator once say, truth is not an idea. Truth is a person. The truth about who you are, the truth about what God has called you to, is not what people say about you. It's not what you say about yourself. It's what God has done for you and will do through you and said about you.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. You can find more info and resources from Legacy House on our website, www.legacyhouse.life, or by following us on social media under the handle @LegacyHouseFL. Don't miss next week's podcast, From Our House to Yours.